Glory to God. You may be seated for just a moment. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be back in service. Thank all of you, Brother Gidrose and Sister Gidrose and all those. Brother Valentine's not here this morning, off on a trip that took care of the church while we were gone. I heard wonderful reports, but I'm glad to be back in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Only one time in my life I was out of church for 2 weeks and in a transition. And, oh, that seemed like an eternity to me. Because church, you know, becomes a way of life. And the Bible says that we receive His Word, the engrafted Word. And when you graft something into a tree, it becomes the life of that tree. And so without that engrafted Word, I've got to hear the Word. I've got to hear it. I've got to read it. I'm like David. I want to meditate upon it day and night because it is not part of my life. It is my life. Hallelujah, because if I didn't have a hope beyond this life, I would be, as Paul said, of all men, most miserable. It would be miserable to try to show up for Sunday school and everybody else is hunting and fishing this morning, and here I am going to church for no good reason. You got to give me a good reason to go to church, you see. There's got to be a reward in this thing. Now, I've heard people say, even some of the old-timers, well, there was no heaven, I would still serve the Lord. Okay, let's take heaven away and let's see. No, you wouldn't. The Bible plainly says you wouldn't. He's coming with rewards in His hand. The reward is not necessarily here, although there are benefits. Even David said, what shall I render the Lord for all the many benefits there is in serving Him? There is benefits on this earth. I realize that. But, you know, that still is not enough to keep you in church. It's the heavenly reward that we're after. And sometimes we lose sight of that, the main thing, which is the heavenly reward. Amen. I want to go to John chapter 11, verse 4. Jesus, John chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 40. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but as always, when you reread the Word of the Lord, you find that there is manifold wisdom in His Word so that you can read it one time and preach from it and say, I think I've got everything extrapolated out of this set of Scriptures, only to come back and find that you don't have it all. And maybe you even missed the main point. And I think that sometimes when we preach from this passage of Scripture, we have missed the main point and concerning Lazarus' death. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 4, and Jesus heard that. He heard that Lazarus was very sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He made it very clear. See, Mary and Martha had sent word, tell Jesus, Lazarus is sick, the one whom you love. Jesus made it very clear. He's not going to die the sleep of death forever. This sickness is not unto death as you know it, but it is for the glory of God that the Son of Man... What are you missing about this, Martha, Mary, you this morning? After all the commotion, after all the weeping, after all the funeral procession that occurs between verse 4 and verse 40, we get to verse 40... And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee? Did I not tell you this in the fourth verse? Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? You went through all of this for nothing. How many things? The writer of that song said, oh, what needless pain we bear. I want to preach this morning or teach from this thought. It won't make sense until it happens. It won't make sense until it happens. Lord, I'm thankful for your word this morning. I'm glad that it's always fresh. Hallelujah. Thank you for the manna that you provided to this world. It was always fresh. Your words are enlightening. Every time you speak and every time we read your word, God, we get new revelation that lifts us up to higher heights in you. Bless us this morning as we endeavor to go deeper into your word than perhaps ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Pardon me if I keep struggling, coughing. I may have to change mics here. I don't know. But
Sister Baggett was not able to be here this morning because I've infected her, and I got well and she got sick. So that's why I got better. I gave it to her. All of the animals that walk upon the face of the earth and the birds that fly in the air all have some sense. Yeah, they've got some sense. But God gave man more sense than any fowl of the air or beast of the field or anything that creeps upon the earth. He gave man more sense than anything he created. And now the one that has the most sense rebels the most. The one that ought to does it the most. So that Isaiah said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people do not consider." They don't even have that kind of sense. They don't have the sense of the beast of the field. The beast knows his owner and his master. The beast knows where to get fed at. You know you come to church, you'll get fed. And people are out there starving in the world today, looking for things to feed them. And here's where it's at. We got the most sense, but yet we have the least execution of that sense. I mean, I got a dog. He's dumb as a rock. I mean, he can bark, 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 and I'll say, "Bucky." He bark, bark, bark. "Bucky." He'll stop me and look like, "What do you want?" I say, "Come here." Well, he comes right away. He doesn't say, "What do you want?" He can go running off. I say, "Come here." He'll come right back. I said, "Sit down." It won't not long. He's like a kid. Here he goes. I said, "Come here." And he comes back. He doesn't ask me anything. But if I told you that two or three times, you say, "Well, what do you want?" We got more sense than we need. Our human sense has got in the way of our godly faith. And so we want everything to make sense or we don't do it. If it don't make sense, I'm not doing it. I've got to know the outcome or I'm not engaging in it. And it messes up our face. And some things I'm here to tell somebody won't make sense until it happens. Amen. The most important thing that will ever make sense is just being obedient to the word of the Lord. Amen. It doesn't make sense that a man named Moses could take a rod and stretch it out. And the Lord said, "Stretch that rod out over the sea." Well, God, what good's that going to do? As if that's going to... Just do it. I'm back to that sermon again. Just do it. And the Red Sea parted and they walked across on dry land. Then they understood it. Hey, that obedience, obeying the Lord is better than sacrifice. And when they got to the other side, the Bible says, then began they to sing the songs of Zion. Oh, they began to worship the Lord then. But they weren't worshiping. They were looking at Moses just prior to that. What did you do? Get us out here to die? Where's this God now that you serve? Marching around the walls of Jericho didn't make any sense. But when they fell down, it sure looked cool. Right? There's just so many things. Muddy Jordan doesn't make sense to a man who had leprosy. Go dip in Muddy Jordan. Well, Lord, why do I have to go to that? And if that's the cure, then why can't I go to a cleaner river? It doesn't make sense. If I'm going to get purified, put me in some pure water. Why do you want to put me in contaminated muddy water for me to get well? It's not about that, Naaman. It's about obedience. And when you're obedient, then things will make sense. And when he went down the seventh time, he didn't get a little better each time. As he went down the seventh time, he came up, and the Bible says his skin was renewed as even a baby's skin would be. It doesn't make sense that Jesus would spit on the ground and put a mud pie on somebody's eye and say, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which was really the sewer, if you will. And he came back seeing. It made sense then. But when you're going through things so many times in life, it doesn't make sense. A lot of things you go through, you don't understand it. But if you can just do it, eventually it will make sense. Hallelujah. No wonder David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." If you ever get a taste of something, then it makes sense. Somebody can taste, and I like chocolate ice cream, they can taste and go, mmm, boy, that's good. Well, you can't get nothing out of that until you taste it. But when you taste it, you say, ah, I know what you mean. It makes sense. So David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you ever tap into God's goodness, it'll get you off of a bar stool. It'll make you quit using crack cocaine. It'll make you get over all those anger issues you got. It'll help you get well if you ever get a hold of his goodness, because God's goodness is better than anything the world can offer you. Hallelujah. If you ever get a hold of God's goodness, it'll make you hungry for more of it. It'll make you leave the things that are visible for the things that are invisible. It'll make you leave the natural for the supernatural, and the abstract for the concrete, and the tangible for the intangible. You'll leave people that you do know to go search for a man that you've never seen. Hallelujah. Walk away from people and family that you know so well to go chase after a man you've never seen. No wonder the Lord told Thomas, blessed are your eyes, for you see and you follow me. You follow me because you can see me. But more blessed are those that follow me and have never seen me, and they're chasing me. Even Paul said, I'm apprehended after the Lord. I am chasing him. I'm in it for the prize of the high calling. Amen. I've been chasing the Lord all my life, and I'm still chasing him. Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you ever get a taste of this, you'll feel out of place at your own family reunion. You're like, Lord, what am I doing here? These people don't understand me because they've never tasted what I've tasted. They've never looked into what I've seen. And I don't even feel like I fit in with my own family. Programs won't save people. Music is great to encourage people, but it won't change anybody's life. Preaching alone is not enough. But if you can ever give people a taste, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, it will change the way you look at things. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't have a microphone, a CD ministry, didn't pass out business cards, but I'm telling you what he came with, samples from heaven. He was the manna that came down from heaven. He had his own Sam's Club. Here, taste this. Try this. And because they know if they can get you to taste it, you'll want more of it. And Jesus went around passing out a little samples of the power of the worlds to come. Hallelujah. Taste this. Try this. Woo. Hallelujah. And issues of blood stopped after 12 years. Oh, that's good. I'll follow you. A man from Gadara, after nobody could hold him down. No, not even with chains and fetters and things, crying day and night. And just a little taste of God's goodness set him free. He said, Lord, I'll follow you. Nobody else could do that for me. Nobody else. Everybody else was trying to bind me. But just a little taste of your goodness makes me want to follow you. I'm here to tell you, we need to pass out samples of God's goodness and of God's glory and of God's mercy and of his truth. Programs are good, and we got one going on. But if they don't get a taste of what we got, they won't be back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things like the Holy Ghost don't make sense to people until they taste it. Some people don't understand speaking in tongues, and those that don't understand it have never tasted it. Because if you've tasted it, you understand it. But if you've never tasted it, you're like, oh, I don't know about that. But if you taste and see, you will understand. And so many things in the spiritual realm, you have to taste it. Faith is a crazy thing, y'all. I mean, faith is crazy. It's a stretch of the imagination to believe that marching around them. But by faith, cities were conquered. By faith, Abraham left for a city. He didn't even know where he was going. It was by faith. All of these people in chapter 11 had the victory. Hallelujah. Faith, 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 faith. The word of God was made flesh. Now stay with me this morning. The word of God was up there somewhere. It was the Spirit of God. And it was made flesh for one reason, that we might see him. That he might come in the light of this world, into the sunlight of this world. And John wrote it this way, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, we saw, we viewed, we got a taste of something we had never, the prophets and the angels looked into this thing, but we saw him. Hallelujah. In one place they said, we were eyewitnesses of the things that Jesus did. they wanted. Jesus came that he might be seen in the daylight hours, that the thing that had been in obscurity since the time that the world began was now put inside of flesh, that we might behold the glory of God and see it with our eyes in the daylight hours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder he told Philip, he told him, blessed is he that has seen me, has seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Spirit. You've seen what had been hid for all these ages. You're looking at it, Philip. Jesus came so the things of heaven might be clearly seen on earth. Hallelujah. Because the earth's eyes had been darkened unto God and the things of God, even in the daylight hours. For the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, who the prince of this world hath blinded their eyes, that they might not see this truth. There are people today, in spite of what's going on this morning, in spite of you walking around as an epistle written and read of all men, still don't understand you, and they look at you and they marvel as why you do what you do and act like you have and go to church on Sunday morning and come back on Tuesday night and have prayer on Monday. Why do y'all do that stuff? In our text, I want to show you something that the Lord quickened me with. In our text, the death of Lazarus was all about opening man's eyes that they might see the glory of God while they were on earth. And the Bible starts in this chapter of our text. It says that a certain man was sick, and his name was Lazarus, and he had two sisters whose name was Mary and Martha. And in order to let us know how important they were to Jesus, it says in the second verse, it said, this is that Mary that anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. It's letting you make no mistake that this is Lazarus' sister. This is that Mary that poured the oil and used her hair. This is that one that he would not let be cast out. This is that one that he loved very much. Hallelujah. And so Lazarus is sick, and he's sick unto death. So these two sisters sent for Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, the one whom thou lovest is sick. They're letting him know, this is that Lazarus that you love. He is sick. And when Jesus heard that he was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. They came, the sisters sent word and said, he's sick, he's very sick. This is me. This is the Mary that had, you know, that wiped your feet. This is the Martha that was busy that day serving tables. This is the Lazarus that loves you so much. This is the threesome that had you over at the house so many times. Don't you understand? He's sick. He said, I know, but it's not unto death. See, they didn't really know him. They didn't really trust him. They didn't really take him at his word. And so many times we see miracles that happens for other people, but when it comes to us, we don't have any faith about it. They saw miracles happen, but now it's your turn. And they don't believe. And the Lord says, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus' intention was to use the death of Lazarus to open man's eyes to see the glory of God and that he was the Son of God. Through this miracle, thereby they would know that he was the Son of God, that he had all the power of God was in him. He wanted their blinded eyes to be opened that they might see him in the light, in the fullness of the light. And the Bible says, and this is recorded in this chapter, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. Just because he doesn't answer you doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean you're being punished. The Bible plainly says he loved them. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he sat there 2 more days. Lord, if y'all call me and I say, I'll be there in a little while. And I show up 2 days later and he's dead. You're changing churches. I tell you what you'll do. You'll change churches. It's exactly what you'll do. I called him and he wasn't there. What are we paying him for? you know. Well, you'd have fired Jesus too. Intentionally. Why? He was waiting for his lights to go out. Jesus was waiting for Lazarus' lights to go out. He let him lay there sick, waiting for Lazarus to die. Then he said, okay, he's dead. All right, boys, let's go to Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, don't you understand the Jews of late have sought to kill thee? And you say, let's go to Judea again? And even Thomas, the one they called Didymus, he said, well, let's go. We might as well die with him. And Jesus, now watch this. This is what you've got to see this morning. After Jesus said, let's go again, and they said, don't you know they're trying to kill you? You cannot go in the daytime because they'll kill you. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Okay? So when we walk around, I don't care how well you know your house, turn all the lights out, you're going to stumble. I don't care how many times you've been to the restroom. Without some kind of light, you're going to be doing this. And you're stumbling around. And you find yourself in the closet instead of the restroom. You get turned around, you'll bump your shin on that coffee table, and you knew it was there somewhere. But when the lights are on, I love to turn on the lights when people are, they're doing like this in the dark, and you flick the lights on, they're going.